20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
And a great Saturday morning to everybody out in Packerland. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast, your 24-7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Saturday, February 2nd, 2019. And right now, I'm still waiting for the Groundhog to see if he's going to see his shadow or not on this day. But I tell you one thing, I've been on Twitter the last couple of days, and I have seen unbelievable temperatures. I've seen negative 31. I've seen bars close in Wisconsin, which is something I never hear about here. And I know that my partner in crime, Mark Eckel from BobMcGinnFootball.com, joining me now. We'll have something to say about that. By the way, I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Mark, what's your thoughts on this whole polar vortex? I mean, we're seeing Wisconsin bars being closed. I mean, that never happens.
Real familiar with that, but that must be cold. Like, I mean, hey, listen, that's why I moved out of the Northeast and I'm living in South Carolina now. I hate the cold. I want nothing to do with it. God bless the people up there. I'm cold here and it's about 40, so I'm, you know.
Yeah. It's cold everywhere in the country right now. All right, but one thing that has stayed hot right now has been the piping hot news of the Packers coaching signings. So we're going to get into that. A couple of big ones are happening. A possible special teams candidate is in the making. All right, but we got Super Bowl 53 coming up. Patriots, Rams, and no stranger to it is the Green Bay Packers, of course. I mean, you talk about Super Bowl 1, 2, 31, and 45. Mark, of those four Super Bowls, what kind of memories do you have of those?
Okay, well, the first two, I was very young then. I do remember watching them, though. I remember one, I was real little. So, I mean, I remember being all my dad and my uncle watching the game and talking about it being, you know, the first time. It was the first one, so it was, like, kind of big. And there was no way the Packers were going to lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. Super Bowl II, I remember it, you know, because it was Lombardi's last game as a head coach. So that was, if I remember, again, I was little. I remember, my memories of those early ones are more of what I heard my dad and my uncle talking about.
Yeah.
And I think I told you this before. My uncle Joe was actually friends with Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, you did tell me about that.
Yeah, so I mean that's kind of how I became a Packer fan, was because of hearing my uncle just talk about Coach Lombardi this and Mr. Lombardi that, and okay, if he knew him and he talked him up so highly, you know. But so that was, you know, that again, that's young. Now more into the modern era. The Favre Super Bowl, I'll call it the Favre Super Bowl.
Right.
That was just so, as a kid, you know, having those early memories, Lombardi, all that, but then going through all those bad years, all those, you know,
NFL wasteland years, yeah.
The Lindy Infante, Diff. And, you know, Dan Devine, and George Gregg, and, you know, just hoping to make the playoffs, not even thinking about going to a Super Bowl, just hoping to be a, you know, have a winning record, and all those bad years to finally get to that point, and you know, to beat the Patriots, and Desmond Howard with the incredible game that he had to become, you know, I think he's still the only special teams player to ever win MVP in a Super Bowl.
Yes.
So I mean, you know, that was almost like so emotional for me, and just to see them finally win, and they had built it up. You know, they made the playoffs under Holmgren, and then won a playoff game, lost second round, got to the NFC Championship game, lost to the Cowboys. So they did it the old-fashioned way, you know, step by step.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen anymore. Now it's like it's boom or bust. But that one was just – that was incredible. That was just an incredible feeling as a Packers fan.
Yeah, it really was.
Them win that game. Then the Aaron Rodgers – and again, I called the Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl. That was a crazy year because if you remember – and you're now I'm talking to you where you're old enough now, right? You remember that one.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I actually remember when I was in Fort Worth with my father and my uncle, and we were at the ESPN Zone in Fort Worth that day, and I got to see Mike and Mike, and I was in the audience, and I saw right to my right side the late, great Pat Summerall being interviewed. And, you know, we also met Colin Cowherd and all this kind of stuff. And it was just an incredible moment to be part of when it came to Super Bowl 45 and then, you know, what happened in the game as a whole.
But that year, if you remember, like I started saying, they barely made the playoffs. Like
they needed
to
beat
the Bears the last game
and the Giants.
Some things to go the week prior went their way, so they were a team that, you know, they got in. The Favre year, they were number one seed. You kind of
13-3.
This is the year we build it up. Okay, Dallas isn't as good as they were. This is the year the Packers are going to go, and they did. That year, I was kind of happy they got in. You know, they beat the Eagles in the first round, upset the Eagles. The Eagles were, you know, 3 seed. They knocked them off. Then they're going to Atlanta, and I'll be honest, I rarely feel this way. I usually think the Packers are, I'm not always right, obviously, but I always think they're going to win. I remember looking back then thinking, I don't know if they can beat Atlanta in Atlanta. That's going to be tough. Atlanta was pretty good that year. They were top
Mark,
seed.
They were the top seed. They were 14-2. They brought back old man John Abraham on the defense. They had a good edge rusher. They had Kyle Shanahan as a coach in there, coaching up that offense. They had weaponry all over the place. I mean, that was their year to make it.
They're generally pretty good.
Yeah, at the Georgia Dome. Yep.
Yeah. So, I just thought that was going to be – I don't know. But, hey, they made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. Then they killed them. The game was over at halftime. And I was like, whoa, okay. and then I thought, you know, then they beat the Bears, which is always good to beat the Bears. And it's a championship game. And
knocking out Jay Cutler. Deal.
And that team, if you remember that team too, half the team was on injured reserve that year.
We had over 14 players alone on the IR. I mean, we had to the point where Josh Bell was on the team.
So, that's the memories of that one is, you know, just the whole adversity that it struck that team and overcoming being a 6 seed and getting, so that was fun. I mean, they're all fun. They're all great. But,
yeah.
That's what comes out of each one for me. Now, let's real quick before we get into assistant coaches, I got to bring this up.
Sure.
Who's in the Super Bowl tomorrow?
Patriots and the Rams.
Patriots and Rams. So they're the two best teams in the league, right? Patriots and Rams.
To the NFL, yes, they are.
If memory serves me correctly, the Green Bay Packers, who everybody says is a bad team, 7-9, really gave both of those teams all they could handle.
They did.
Would a play here or there would have beat both of those teams, right?
It all fell down to coaching, though, too. And
well, whatever. Well, the coach is gone, so.
Yep, the coach is gone. But, you're right. They did. It got to a point where it was Lambeau Field in Los Angeles. And then at Foxborough, one of the toughest places to play, we took them to the end again, just like we did when Matt Flynn was there and Rodgers got hurt that year in 2010. And, that was a Super Bowl year.
My point is, everyone who tells me how far away the Packers are and their roster's terrible and they need this, they need a ton of different things. If an idiot doesn't take a ball out of the end zone on a kickoff, they might. I'm not saying they would have beat the Rams, but they would have had a very good chance to beat the Rams in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams single-handedly lost that game for them. But the punt that went out of bounds to one, it led to the safety, it turned the whole game around, and then then the stupid Montgomery taking the ball out of the end zone. So. They could, and then New England went toe-to-toe, and again, it was his only fumble of the season. Aaron Jones' only bad play of the season. Happened, he fumbled. I mean, he has a first down and then some, and he gets stripped, and that turned that game around. So all I'm saying is, don't think the Packers are that. Are they ready to go to Super Bowl? I'm not saying that. I'm saying if these are the two best teams in football, which they are, the Packers aren't that far off. Give me a good draft. Give me a couple good free agents. Hopefully, Matt LaFleur does well as a new head coach. And I think next year we'll be saying a lot of different things than we did this year.
And I think you're right about that, Mark, because just some of the hires that I've been watching and looking at some of the resumes that these new coaches have coming in, as we'll dive in here on this edition of Pack-A-Day, it's very interesting how detail-oriented they all are and how experienced and successful they've been, you know, with some very good coaching staffs in the past. and we'll jump into that. Really quick here, I'm just going to throw out just a couple of memories. So Super Bowl I, look, I've watched tons of old NFL films footage. I've watched Super Bowl I from beginning to end when the NFL Network played it. One of my favorite moments had to be Dave Robinson absolutely destroying Mike the Hammer Garrett on a run play in the first half that pretty much sank the Kansas City Chiefs. Super Bowl II, taking down Daryl LaMonica and the Mad Bomber pretty much himself. And Super Bowl 31, Favre, of course, throwing his helmet off. First touchdown of the game to Andre Rison across the middle. And Super Bowl 45, my favorite, Kevin Green, linebackers coach, comes up to Clay Matthews on third down and says, it's time. And then Rashard Mendenhall costs up the football. Packers get it back. They win the game. Those are just some of the memories that I have for the Packers with Super Bowl. Now, if out there to the audience, if you have any thoughts or any Super Bowl memories that you want to share with us on Twitter, please tweet us at @PackadayPodcast, at Jake Turner Sport, or at Mark Eckel 08, and we will definitely talk about memories because we could talk about it for days here, but we're on kind of a time crunch here. So let's jump into the latest news with the Packers and some of their coaching hires. The latest one has been, and first off, I want to bring this up really fast here, but getting Mike Smith and getting Kirk Olivia Dotti from the Redskins and the Chiefs was a blessing in disguise because finally it feels like we're going to have that power, that old school edge rushing kind of capability that the Packers have been missing for quite some time. And we talked about this too, Mark. You believe this, that Mike Patton actually feels like he's had a say in some of these hires. Why do you think that?
Well, I think he has. I mean, there's no doubt he has. I think LaFleur trusts Patton. I mean, he kept him, obviously, so that spoke volumes right there. That he,
smart move.
He agreed to keep him on as his defense coordinator. And if you just see the guys he's hiring, they're guys he either knows or worked with or, you know, fits what he wants to do. And he kept Montgomery as a defensive line coach, and I applaud that move because I think
brilliant.
You've seen what the things he's done. Kenny Clark has turned into a great player under his guidance. A kid like Tyler Lancaster, undrafted free agent rookie last year, you know, looks like a pretty good player. I mean, looks like a guy.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up Tyler Lancaster.
Be a more than just a serviceable backup. I think. I think you'll see more and more out of this young man from Northwestern. So anyway, Montgomery's good, and I think Smith and Olivadotti, I remember his dad as a coach with the back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of coaches' sons on the staff. The offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, his dad, of course, Paul Hackett, who, you know, a West Coast offense pioneer back in the day. You know, like you said, there's a lot of. It's an interesting staff. There's no big crazy, you know, hype name on the staff, but like you said, a lot of guys that are teachers, you know, attention to detail, and very young.
And that's what I like, Mark.
On offense, they're all in their 30s, except for Ben Sermons, who they kept as a running back coach, and he's only 49. It's not like he's 68 or something. I mean, it's a young coaching staff. And I think in today's game, now again, there's Bill Belichick who's older, he's still the best, but
yeah.
you look at the Rams and Sean McVay and that staff, and not that the Packers are copying the Rams by any means, because you have to have your own identity, but I just think today's players relate more to younger coaches and younger ideas than they do to the older past, you know, old school kind of thought. So we'll see. Hopefully it works out well. And like I said, next year at this time, we're talking about the Packers playing in a game, not just, you know, memories.
So latest hire was Elvis Witten from, I remember him when he used to play with Jacksonville back in the day with the likes of Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell. And I remember that guy very well. And then his last season was with the Raiders. I know that. But the one thing that really got to me was his experience at Colorado State and some of the guys that he has already trained to the point where Mike Bobo, the head coach of Colorado State, very well respected in that area, said that this guy is a mentor, he's a teacher, and this is what they need. Because when you got guys like Rashad Higgins and Michael Gallup, who were Fred Biletnikoff's finalists as well. And then you got this stud last year, still in school, Preston Williams, 96 passes, 1,345 yards. You got that guy as well. Just imagine, Mark, what he could do with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Jamon Moore, Davante Adams, and Geronimo Allison when he comes back from injury. I actually really like this hire, and it's not a sexy hire at all, and that's what I really like.
No, I think he's going to do a good job. He played in the league. Again, he's not that old. He's a young man. He played in the league. That's, you know, from all my years covering teams, I remember, like, you know, guys that played, and it shouldn't be this way, but it just is. Players relate more to guys who played in the league. Deuce Staley with the Eagles, the running backs coach now with the Eagles. I covered Deuce as a player. Never in a million years thought he'd be a coach or would even want to be a coach. And he felt the same way. He laughs about it sometimes. But he's become a very, very good coach. And a lot of it is because players, A, they trust him. They know he's been through what they're going through, so he can relate to their needs and what they need to hear sometimes. So yeah, I like a guy like Alvis Whitted, who, like I said, you know, he did play in the league for a long time. Wasn't a star, which is good too. Mm-hmm. Because star players sometimes don't know what the average player thinks because they're a star. They get treated differently. They have different thoughts and ideas. So, but a guy that played in the league 9 years was like you said, a good, you know, decent player. Played under some good players. I think he'll do a nice job with the wide receivers. It's going to be interesting. It's, like I said, a very young, detail oriented staff.
Now, Matt LaFleur also brought in somebody that he knew back in Atlanta, and his name was Justin Outen. Outen used to be an offensive line coach, then he started becoming an assistant tight ends coach. What is it about that guy that really makes this tight end position so interesting?
Well, the position's interesting in itself because you don't know who's – I mean, it looks like they're going to bring Jimmy Graham back.
Yes, it. Yep.
They have the Tanya kid who they're, you know, I guess they'll bring him in again, give him another long look and see if he's gotten better. But I think they're going to spend a relatively high pick. I'm not saying first round, but maybe second on a tight end, maybe bottom of the first. You don't know. See how the board falls. But I'm pretty sure they'll have a rookie, a high caliber rookie tight end on the roster as well. Now, I don't know much about Jason Outen other than what you just said. He worked in Atlanta. LaFleur knows him pretty well. Again, he's young. That's another in the long line of what they're looking for: young, detail oriented, teaching type coaches. And we'll see how he does. I mean, his job is going to be to get the young guys, you know, acclimated to the NFL, and to get Jimmy Graham back to what, you know, I don't think it'll be the Jimmy Graham that he was back in the day. He's older now, but just to get, you know, Graham involved in his offense more.
You're listening to the Pack-A-Day podcast, a Saturday morning edition on February 2nd, 2019. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Joining me is Mark Eckel, my partner in crime of BobMcGinnFootball.com. We're talking Super Bowl memories. We're talking about the latest hires. And another one that is starting to come to interest here because he has experience in this. Special teams still have not made this move yet. Darren Rizzi, the Packers decided not to hire him, but they had Wes Welker in as an interview candidate. He has experience on the special teams. Is that a possibility for Green Bay?
Now that would be sexy. That would be amazing. And maybe they were saving it for that. I think I would like that, to be honest with you. I think I would like a Wes Welker as a special teams coach. I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe he might come in as a lower level assistant. I don't know. I mean, they did talk to him, like you said. I heard another name for special teams coach. I can't think of it. He worked with Mike Patton for some reason.
Sean Menenga?
Yeah, the guy that worked in Cleveland under Patton.
Yep, assistant special teams coach last 7 seasons for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, now him, again, if they like him, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be. It's hard to tell. It's hard to say who's going to be a good special teams coach unless you're really, I mean, yeah, teams were awful. Maybe not quite as awful as the Packers were last year, but they were pretty bad for a long time. And they hired a guy named John Harbaugh as their special teams coach under Ray Rhodes. Ray Rhodes was last year, and he hired John Harbaugh. And I remember interviewing Harbaugh when he got the job and walking away saying, I don't know if I can't honestly say the Eagles special teams are going to be a lot better because, again, eventually it all comes down to the players. You can have the greatest coaches in the world. If the players aren't good, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, a coach can make a player a little bit better, but you can't do it for him, you know? But I remember walking away saying, I don't know how much better Eagles special teams are going to be, but this guy's pretty sharp. This guy's going to have him in the right place. This guy's going to have the right players out there. I walked away from my first interview with John Harbaugh very impressed. And, you know, needless to say, John not only became a great special teams coach, but a pretty darn good head coach as well. So,
and received to that.
No one knew John Harbaugh when they hired him. I mean, all we knew about him was Jim Harbaugh's brother at that point. I mean, he was a college coach, not even a major, you know, not like a Alabama. You know, he worked at Cincinnati, other small colleges. His claim to fame was that his brother was a first round pick.
And Mark, I'm so glad that you bring up John Harbaugh, because it just feels like with some of these moves that the Packers are making, they're no-namers, but they have very good resumes, and the media doesn't want to talk about it. And I think that's what really helps Green Bay going forward with that. Speaking about that, something interesting came up, and I had to talk a couple of people off the railing and tell them to come back down. It's going to be okay, but it looks like the Packers are going to pick up the $5 million roster bonus for Jimmy Graham. Now, brand new tight ends coach in there. You got a different voice. You got a different feel in the locker room right now. Why are the Packers giving Jimmy Graham one more chance? Is it money or is it his experience?
Yeah, I mean, number one, you can't solve everything. Now, like I said earlier, I think they're still going to draft a tight end going forward.
And they should.
This is a very good tight end draft. So why wouldn't you draft a tight end in a draft that's very deep at that spot?
Draft two, if you want to.
But getting back to Jimmy Graham, I mean, he didn't have that. Did he have the kind of year people hoped and expected that he would have had? No, he did not. And he was the first to say it. But the whole offense was off kilter this year. No, nobody on offense really had a great year. So, I mean, you can't just lay all the blame on Jimmy Graham.
But it's so easy, Mark. I mean, that's the thing. In today's society, in our outraged society, people want to just say, it's Jimmy Graham's fault. That's why the Packers are terrible. No, there were so many different reasons that this team was bad.
So I don't want to go with, I think a tight end room of Jimmy Graham, a high draft pick, and this Tanyan kid is fine.
That's good.
And you have for another year. No matter what happens, if they do draft a tight end high and he turns out to be pretty good, I don't expect Graham to be here in 2020. And maybe, who knows, maybe, but I mean, there's no, I mean, how can I, there's only so many needs that can be filled through an offseason.
Yes, and that's something that fans are going to, they're going to have to understand that. I mean, you're going into the 2019 season, if you say, okay, adios Jimmy Graham, but okay, all you got is Tanyan then. And that's not going to help you. That puts too much pressure on the tight end position now. Now they might draft not just one, but two possibly. And that could really ransack it. You need to have that veteran in there to help certain young players be better. Benjamin Watson for the Saints is a great example. Still a very good player, but he has helped out the likes of Kobe Fleener and Josh Hill to really recognize their potential going forward. And if you have that guy and you can make Jimmy Graham into that guy, it could really be great for Tanyan going forward and then whoever they decide to draft as well.
Yeah, you can do anything you want, but if you want to win, if you're a team that you feel, you know, you're not a rebuilding team. You're a team with a 30-something or 35-year-old quarterback and a veterans all over the place. I don't want three unproven tight ends on my roster.
Me neither.
I don't want unproven. The perfect team, a team that wins, a team that is successful, always has a good blend of veterans and young guys. You can't be too old in places either. So I think that Jimmy Graham, let's just use a name, you know, Irv Smith from Alabama. Let's just throw his name in there. And Robert Tonyan. If Tonyan, again, Tonyan has done, he had a good training camp. He really was invisible during, I mean, again, it wasn't his fault. He was hardly used. The one time he was used, he made a nice touchdown catch. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, he can become a good NFL player. But those three together, I could live with that for nothing. You know, I'm going to say, and I think, I could be wrong, in Matt LaFleur's offense, you're going to see a lot of multiple tight end sets. Am I not? And Jackson and Hackett, too, both of them in Jacksonville and in Tennessee have used multiple tight ends. So you're going to see two tight ends on the field a lot, I think.
This is the Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm Jake Turner at PackersTalk.com, along with Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. And Mark, so now, one day away from Super Bowl 53, got to do this really fast here, just in about, I don't know, a sentence or less. Tell me who is going to win on Super Bowl Sunday.
I mean, I'm just going to go with experience.
Okay.
Both, you know, Brady and Belichick over two young guys in McVay, who I think the world of McVay, but, you know, it's pretty big stage for him now. Same with Jared Goff. You know, experience matters a little bit, I think. I think it's going to be a great game. I hope it's a great game, but I'll take the Patriots in a squeaker.
I'm going to go upset, and I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to stick with the Los Angeles Rams. I think Sean McVay has really done a great job, and I know that everybody wants to say, oh, the Saints should be in it, but the fact is they were still able to win. They were still able to outcoach Sean Payton in the last 2 minutes, get in overtime, and take a risk-taking 57-yard field goal by Greg Zuerlein. I think it's going to come down to either two scenarios. Either one, Tom Brady's going to have the ball with 2 minutes left to go and command a victory, or Jared Goff is going to be able to get into field goal range, and Legatron is going to seal the deal and give Tom Brady his fourth Super Bowl loss. But we'll find out. I think it's going to be a great game. That's all I want as well. And we'll see what happens. And then, Mark, guess what? Dead zone of sports news, but then we get into the nitty-gritty of Packers talk when the free agency period opens as well.
Can't wait.
I can't wait either, Mark. All right, we'll talk to you in the next couple weeks. Enjoy the game, and I'll talk to you then. All right, that was Mark Eckel, BobMcGinnFootball.com. Always bringing up knowledge, always having a blast here on Pack-A-Day. I love doing this. It's so much fun. And one thing that me and Mark, we always talk about this a couple days in advance. We're getting the time set up. We're talking about the storylines. This is the kind of stuff that you won't hear on any other Packer podcast. Not even an NFL podcast. Nobody cares, you know, what the Packers are doing for hires and coaching and all this. We want to bring something different to it. So you've heard what we said. Now it's your turn. So go to @PackADayPodcast. Find me at Jake Turner Sport, @MarkEckel08. And give us your Super Bowl memories. Give us your thoughts on the new coaching staff. Why is Jimmy Graham coming back? We want to hear from you, because that's why we do this, for the Packer fan base. Now, remember, please stay warm in the polar vortex. Let's get those bars opened up again in Wisconsin. And in the three greatest words in the Green Bay Packer Dictionary is, go Pack go. For Mark Eckel, I'm Jake Turner. This was the Pack-A-Day podcast on Saturday, February 2nd, 2019. In the three greatest words in the Green Bay Packer Dictionary is, go Pack go. Enjoy it, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Third down and 8. Packers are 3 of 8 on third down conversions. Now gets the snap. Tight pocket. Lofts it down the left side. Adams leaping back. Wow. Oh, what a catch! Wow. Right over Prince Amukamara. Out of bounds. 20-yard line of Chicago. That was an incredible leaping grab over the defender. Long count by A-Rod. Takes handoff. Williams around the right end. Makes the turn to the 5. End zone. Touchdown. Oh, they got great seal blocks off the right side. And outside the numbers, Jamal Williams on a 10-yard touchdown run. And the Packers are right back in it. Rodgers shotgun. Slot right, slot left for the 2-point conversion. Snap to Rodgers. Has some time. Throws it over the middle. Devontae Adams has it. 2-point conversion. And we are tied at 14 apiece. We'll be right back. third and one. Snap to Cohen. Takes a handoff. Fumbles it. It's up for grabs. And I believe Green Bay's got it. More arrogance by Matt Nagy. A Dean trick Lowry. Play. Oh, all the tricks in the world. And they're foiling the Bears now. Dean Lowry makes the fumble recovery. Second down, a little bit less than 6 yards to go. They spot it. Just beyond the 44-yard line of Green Bay. Snap, Rodgers looking left. Throws it to Adams on the slant. He's got it inside the 40. Breaks a tackle down to the 35 and has tumbled down through the hash marks on the right side at the 33-yard line of Chicago. Fourth down and 6 at the Green Bay 45. Rodgers long down the line. Takes the snap, backpedals. Steps up Floyd, eludes Floyd on the pass rush, throws the middle. He's got Devontae cutting right inside the 35, down near the 31-yard line of Chicago, brought down to the 30-yard line, number by Adrian Amos, the safety.